Attention Austin guitar players and bass players. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you, gang. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery, and you can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I've been talking about Jason for years. Why is that? Because I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years. Not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and the fastest service in town. Again, find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Not only is he doing an amazing job repairing and setting up guitars, he is now building guitars. That's right. He built me an SG Junior, which I have, and it sounds amazing. It feels great. It's the very first SG Junior he ever built. I've got a J. Scott Luthery SG Junior. You can go see him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Get a guitar built. Get your guitars fixed. Get them set up. J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Let's get down. Hey, gang, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of How Did I Get Here? I know you have a lot of choices out there, and the fact that you're listening to this episode right now is not lost on me, so thank you. I'm not sure what platform you're listening on, but whatever platform you're on, give us a follow. And if you like what you hear, leave us a rating. It takes just a second, and it means the world to me. Plus, it really helps the show. So thank you in advance. And remember, the last 100 episodes of How Did I Get Here are available on all streaming services. Now, enjoy the show. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. If you listen to Monday's show, you know I've got COVID. I tested positive for COVID on Sunday morning and still feeling the effects. I'm feeling better than I did on, you know, Monday, but, you know, still feeling COVID-y. Been laying around a lot, been canceling a lot of things, been watching a lot of stuff on TV, been watching. I saw a Bon Jovi documentary that everybody's talking about. Do you guys see that? Yep. Well, he's out there. I've seen a shitload of movies. Like I watched Machete, which I'd seen before, but then I saw there's Machete Kills. Never seen that before. The sequel, saw that. And then I started watching a bunch of movies that I'd never seen before. Like 12 Angry Men. I'd never seen that before. Great movie. 3 Days of Condor. Great movie. You know, a movie I watched I'd never seen before. I've never seen Escape from New York. I know I've seen pieces of it like on HBO when I was a kid, but I never sat down and watched the whole thing. And I liked it. I did. I really did. Anyway, man, that's, I don't know if that's a good movie recommendation thing. I've seen a bunch of movies and I rocked them all because I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride. And I'm wanted, wanted, dead or alive. I don't know why I felt compelled to. Maybe it's all the Bon Jovi I watched. I don't know. But I hope you enjoyed my COVID rendition, a cappella rendition of Wanted Dead or Alive. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. J.M. Stevens, he used to be in the band Moonlight Towers. He has just released a brand new solo album called Nowhere to Land. It came out on April 12th. It's available on CD. It's available on vinyl. And he is currently on tour on the East Coast. In fact, tomorrow, Thursday, May 2nd, he will be at Crow's Restaurant and Brew Pub in Sparta, New Jersey. Friday, May 3rd, he will be at Boontown Coffee in Boontown, New Jersey. Saturday, May 4th, he will be at Flounder Brewing in Hillsboro, New Jersey. And then he'll be in Raleigh on Monday, Asheville, North Carolina on Tuesday. So go to jmstevens.net, find out if he's coming to a town near you. I'm sure he's going to be doing a bunch of shows. He's been on tour now. This is the second month. He's started his tour when his record came out a couple weeks ago, but this record is absolutely fantastic. I'm in love with this song called Cobwebs, which I think is great. There's a great song called Nowhere to Land and another amazing song called Cherry Sunburst, which I will play for you on the show. We have a really great conversation about songwriting, about what it takes, you know, about how we're both attracted to great choruses. I find that his songwriting is like based in like power pop songwriting in the way that Tom Petty's is. It's not so much singer-songwritery. There's a lot more chorus action happening, bigger choruses, a lot of pre-choruses happening and stuff like that. J.M. Stevens is a fantastic songwriter, and this album, Nowhere to Land, is absolutely fantastic. Go to jmstevens.net to get your vinyl or CD version of this, or find him wherever it is you're streaming records. We have a really great conversation about everything, about, you know, a lot about songwriting, a lot about making music, about being in the scene, a lot about Moonlight Towers. I tell a funny story about my friend Jacob, who was in Moonlight Towers, and that crazy show Bands on the Run on VH1, all kinds of stuff. So I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. I want to thank J.M. Stevens for coming on the show, and I want to thank my friend Wendy from Hello Wendy for hooking us up, all right? Because I should have had J.M. Stevens on a long time ago. All right, without further ado, this is me and my pal, J.M. Stevens, chatting it up. Let's get down.
I saw you sitting all by yourself, like you own the place. Slinging low on the top shelf, putting a smile on my face. You didn't need
dude, this record's great.
Oh man, thanks so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's really, really great. Like,
thank you.
You're a great, great songwriter. My favorite songs were Cherry Sunburst, Nowhere to Land, the actual song, and Cobwebs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cobwebs got me. I understand that, man.
You know, it was funny.
I know that story.
It was funny how that song came about. You know Betty Sue?
Yeah, I do. So, she sang on the record, right?
She did.
I love her,
sang all
man.
Over that thing. But and it was funny because she came in to sing on one song, and, you know, it ended up, It was jiving and vibing, you know, and then she sang on another one. The next thing, yeah, I know, we've been sitting there, she sang on the whole thing pretty much. The only one she didn't sing on was Cobwebs, and that was Beth Christman.
Oh, okay.
From a Carper family.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah.
She got a new band called Lost Patterns.
Oh.
But anyway, back to Betty. So she was doing, during COVID, she was doing this Nobody's Happy Hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's a brilliant name. You know, I just thought she just did such a great job with that.
Yeah.
I mean, just like consistently putting those out, you know, which I think is...
It's interesting.
That's the thing. You
that,
know?
Like the pivot that people made at that time, and they were like either in show business or they weren't. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she asked me to be on the show, and for some reason, you know, I just found it. You know, I do studio stuff all the time, and I know how to work all this stuff, but for some reason, doing the live stream thing just was not, it seemed like the most complicated thing in the world to me, just to get everything to work and make sure it's syncing and that everybody can hear you or see you. Anyway, we got all that figured out, but one of her, she had this wheel that you would spin,
yeah,
and whenever it
yeah.
landed on, you had to do the thing.
Right, right.
And the one that terrified me the most was write a song on the spot.
Oh yeah.
And every time it spins, like, please don't land on that one. Please don't land on that one. And of course the first thing, bam. what do they call that? Murphy's Law.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there like sweating it, like, what am I gonna come up with here? And I was just kind of looking around the room, and there were some cobwebs in the corner that I've been looking at forever and just kept putting off getting them out, you know? And I just kind of hit on that little bit of that cobwebs on the ceiling, cobwebs on the floor, hanging, and like hit that pretty quick, you know, and just did a little bit. And
but you got to the cobwebs between us.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah.
it,
that's where you hit the fucking, that's the home run line.
I had that little bit of the song, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then I just, and somebody that had watched the show was like, man, I really liked that little thing you did. And, you know, sometimes, you know, all you need is maybe just some tiny little bit of encouragement, you know, from someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when someone says, man, I like that shirt. Next thing you know, I'm wearing this shirt every day, you know. but, so I went back and looked at it and just kind of fleshed that song out. And, you know, that's how it came about. You know, you never know where
that's great,
where it's going to come from.
Yeah.
You know.
How do you, are you like a pretty, are you a pretty prolific writer? Do you have a regimen?
I try to be pretty disciplined about it, which is, I started this thing a couple of years ago where I'm just going to do the opposite of everything that my, that I've always been, you know, thought or told to do, which is like, you got to wait around on, you know, the inspiration. You don't want to, like.
Who the fuck says that?
People say that, you
know.
I don't know. I've just always heard that. You know, it's like you wait on that magic thing to hit or something. Or I've heard that before. You know, people talk about that. But
you know, have you ever heard Neil Young's description of that?
What did he say?
He's like, yeah, I wait for inspiration to hit, but it really only hits once I'm working on a song for a while.
Yeah, it's great.
But no, there's. I mean, that's not a. That's like a weird. That's like trying to win the lottery. You know what I mean?
You know, you're not. It's some of that.
I mean, you write like a writer the metaphor for me is you can't get up and like run a marathon. You got to get up and run every
day. That's really good.
You're not gonna place in a 26 mile run or win it without doing it every day.
Yes.
There is inspiration. There is divine magic that
That's
happens.
The thing.
But also, yeah.
But I don't believe it
there's
anymore.
There's a fuckload of elbow grease.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, sorry, I just sounded like someone's dad. I even used
you
elbow
like
grease.
My dad.
I'm sorry.
One of the things that I got into doing, I joined this group with a few fellas, and there's a thing where, you know, it would be like a 12-week stint,
sure.
Right?
Is that 1159 one?
No, or? It's a different one. I don't know.
There's a bunch of them nowadays.
Yeah, there's a lot of them now. So you had to have a song in by Thursday, you know, at midnight. And of course, you know, I always wait until the last.
Start writing at 11.
Start writing at 11. Yeah. Digging through, you know, little riffs and things you got on your phone. It's like, God, look at all this crap.
Yeah.
You know, you know, sometimes it's cool to kind of go back and hear some of those things because you done forgot about it. You know, it's like, then you're hearing it fresh like a person maybe would hear it that's never heard it before. And it's like, oh, that stuck out. Why did that one stick out? You know, it's like a cool little melody or something.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a ba-da-ba-da, you know, just a mouth and vowels or something.
Yeah.
But to me, it's always trying to find that cadence and that melody, you know. The words can fit and you mold those into place.
Yeah.
But the feeling makes the vibe of maybe what you're writing about, like where the melody takes you.
Right.
And so that was really good for me to do that. I got a lot of songs out of doing that just because it's like you put all your precious stuff aside and you just fucking lay into it and get it done.
That's that's the
just
thing
it.
Is it kind of makes it to where songs aren't as precious. Like you're not as like, hey, I gotta finish this song. It's not very good. I need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
And turn it in. I've got 25 minutes.
And just finish it.
Yeah. And so it kind of takes away the pressure of writing a song because you can write a bad song.
It's totally fine.
You wrote a terrible one yesterday.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, you can, I forgot where my mind was going with that, but yes.
No, but it really,
it's good. It's good to just throw stuff out there, you know, and not be so like every song has to be Stairway to Heaven, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can just throw some ditties out there, you know?
Yeah.
Throw some ditties out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then you can go back later and tweak them. You know, you might have a dumb lyric on there, but maybe the melody was good. So then you go back later and be like, okay, this might be something here. I can go back and change this lyric around and, you know, now that I'm off the pressure of the time clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question then about that because, it's taken me a long time, but I realize that instinct it is my best. Like when I'm using the force and I'm making stuff, usually the best shit is the very first thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to believe that, but now I totally grasp that. Now, I've spoken to a lot of songwriters, people like Mary Gaucher, Darden Smith. They spend like 40 hours per song. Like, I mean, I don't spend 40 hours on a song until I played it like 75 times on stage and recorded it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But that's a different thing. But a song like Cobwebs, where you had this sort of like this initial idea, and then you went back and worked on it, how much time do you end up putting into something that you finish like that?
I'd say all in all, you know, I played that song. I have this thing that I try to stick with where if I'm doing a show, I want to throw a new song out there, you know, and just to kind of put myself under the fire a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And also I have this theory that if you play something live in front of somebody, it's, for me, it saves like 6 months of
practicing. Yeah, 100%.
Because like you feel in the room like automatically, like, oh, this song needs that. And what happened with that particular one is the first time I played it, I was like, oh, this needs a middle eight. You can just tell, you know, like you get to the, after the chorus and it's like, oh, that needs to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Else. It needs to kind of change landscape a little
bit. You have
there.
Great bridges, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that's why I threw that middle eight in there. And then it's like, well, now I'm going to do a third verse. You know, I always try to see how the least amount of work I can get away with. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's so many songs I love that are like 2 minutes long.
Sure.
You know. So.
Well, like It's Only Love by John Lennon. Like a song like that. Like yeah. That's, there's no bridge there. It's just two verses.
Yeah.
It's like you're in, you're out. You got the down, 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 down.
Like in any Bo Diddley song.
Yeah.
Just one chord.
Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah. So it's I guess I always have a little bit of my, you know, young kind of punk rock energy that I always have back in there talking to me a little bit. Like, don't get too, you know, keep it rock and roll. Keep it a little raw, you
yeah.
know. But... Yeah,
I totally understand that. I know that there was a point where my songwriting was so laconic. Like I just like what the there's no fucking around anywhere. If there's an intro figure thing, then there is. Some songs I just come in singing like right at the top of the song.
Yeah.
Like singing. I had this manager that would just be like, dude. Can you put like a thing where you're not like yelling at me about something? Like, can we have a part of the song where you would step away from a microphone and like not, and you're like, oh, okay. Like I had to get intros and musical interludes and stuff back into my mind.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, man. Like it's hard to sort of change your thing, but you have I mean, your songs are like, both like whatever artistically are great, but also like in the craft of it, like you know how to put a song together.
Well, I hope I would.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, you know.
Like in a way that's like masterful, like Petty level. You know what I mean?
Well, he's definitely one of my big heroes. You know.
Yeah, you can tell.
You know.
But, yeah. I mean, not like you can tell, but like you can tell you've studied the greats. Not like you sound like anything like that, but you. You don't really have a mastery of structure until you've like spent some time with Petty and the Beatles. You know what I mean?
You know, the Petty's, it's like, thing about him, I just think is so badass. I mean, his last record he did is one of my favorite records that he's done.
Which one was the last?
Hypnotic Eye.
Oh, yeah. That was fucking great.
It's such a great record. It's so cool. It's like, here's a guy, you know, that just keeps putting out great stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's not straying too crazy into anything. He just knows how to write a great song.
Yeah,
great
he's not necessarily song. AC/DC.
Yeah.
Like, but he's not inventing a wheel. He's not... There's not all of a sudden like this Kraftwerk level or like the EDM Tom Petty record that never came out or something.
Yeah, it's just good.
It's just good.
It
just
feels good.
It's real.
And I've tried a lot of stuff and through the years, but I just can't get away from a good chorus, you know, and a good pre-chorus.
And what's funny,
I quit trying to fight it at this point. You know?
Yeah. It's funny because when I was listening to your tunes, I was thinking like there's a few of them where I was like, these are like power pop songs, like in the Big Star kind of vein. Like if you just sped them up and everybody played electric guitars and you did like down strokes instead of strumming or so, you know what I mean?
Well, that'd be, you know, my last band, Moonlight Towers, was definitely
more in that vein.
We were, you know, more amped up for sure. But in the core of that band, you know, if you took the songs and played them on acoustic, it ain't that far removed from kind of what I'm doing now, I don't think. I mean, so I guess it's like you can present a song many different ways, which I think comes down to production and just what kind of record you're making.
Yeah.
You know, that was a raucous rock and roll band. It was fun. Did that band.
Wasn't Jacob in that band?
Yeah.
Schultz.
Jacob.
Everything he's in is raucous.
Oh yeah, we spent a lot of time on the road together. Got in a lot of trouble.
You know what? He's a guy that stopped being a troublemaker. He used to work. Remember when he worked at Fresh Plus over in Hyde Park?
I do not remember that. I met him in the DeVille days.
Oh, okay.
Club DeVille.
I have this great memory of him. Remember that show Bands on the Run? That was on VH1, where those bands were on tour. It's like a competitive tour, and they try and get the most people at the show and all this. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, there was a band on there that me and a few other people had become obsessed with, and they came to town.
Oh, wow.
And we went and saw them, and then we hung out with them afterwards, and we went to Club DeVille, and the singer guy took his pants off in the middle of Club DeVille. His wiener's hanging out and all this shit. And the greatest thing I've ever seen is Jacob, like, without even missing a beat, like, he's mixing a martini or something. He's like, hey, dude, hey, you got to have your pants on here. Like, just didn't even think. I can't remember why that guy's pants were down. He's wasted. But, yeah, I can't remember the name of that band either. Huh. But, yeah.
There was an MTV show that was similar that I remember came and filmed Moonlight Towers playing at Club DeVille one time.
Oh, really?
For their show. It was like MTV Austin. What was it, Real World or... Was it Real World?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, I think it was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
Big brush with fame there. The limo was pulling up, man.
Did you guys have a deal, like an indie deal? Were you guys like on Matador or something?
No, were on Chicken Ranch.
That's a good label.
Yeah, we were on Chicken Ranch.
They're still out there putting out records?
Yeah, they did my last record.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Who did this one?
I'm doing this one.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Is that tough?
It's been a thing.
Yeah.
I've been busting my ass on it, man. I just booked a tour.
That is a pretty fucking lengthy tour, and you're doing that by yourself?
I did. I don't know how the hell I did it. Someone's going to kill me.
You know, you're playing some great... Like, I was actually a little bit... I was like, wow, this guy... Like, I looked to see who... And I was like, did he book this himself? Because he doesn't have a booking agent on there. Like, you're playing all the best, like, listening rooms and all the... Like, if you're going to play by yourself... Anderson Fair, Old Quarter, Blue Door, like those are fucking great places.
Well, I'll tell you, Laura Thomas at Combo Plate was booking, she booked Moonlight Towers, then she started booking my solo stuff for forever, you know.
I've always liked her. She's a really good person.
And when I got into doing the solo, you know, I'm just like, I would just want to go out and play everywhere I can, you know. And so she was instrumental in getting me in some of those places.
Yeah.
You know, and you go there and play, and you just, you know, you go in there and you work hard to try to get people there and be cool, and they'll have you back.
Do you go with anyone? Just you?
These have all been doing by myself, just because I can make it work.
No, I know.
You know, I enjoy it, man.
You do?
I love a good continental breakfast, you know. And
Do you call people a lot, or do you spend a lot of time like in your head? Making up songs or listening to...
I talk to my daughter.
Okay, that's good. How old is she?
She is 18, just started college this year. She's a freshman.
Wow.
Going to Southwestern there in Georgetown.
Does she like your music?
She claims she does.
Okay.
She helped me sequence that record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then she does.
I like, totally no trusted kid, her, you know what too, because I, mean? Like, I really like her taste in music. I like how she looks at music, how she thinks about it, and it's been pretty inspiring for me.
That's
cool. You know, and so I was like, listen to this, you got to help me with this sequence, you know. And I had it totally different, and she listened to it and came back with some ideas, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go with that.
Do you get any new music from her? Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, she's made me a big Taylor Swift fan, you know, obviously. Trying to think of what else she's turned me on to. You know, we went and saw Harry Styles together.
He's fucking great, man. She's great.
Yeah.
But Harry made that, like, his first solo record was like a lost, like, if Mark Bolan and T-Rex really inspired one dude, or Mark Bolan and David Bowie inspired, like, one dude for one record, it was, like, all of a sudden record. Like this.
Sounds great.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, great songs.
She's really got me into Lana Del Rey recently, which I've been digging on.
She's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
I find those sounds inspiring. I was
yeah.
like, oh, wow, that's cool. How subdued this is, but it just feels like a thing. I dig it. You know, it takes you to a place, and you're there, and you're in that place.
Yeah.
You know, I like records like that.
When you recorded this record, were you guys able to play live together? Was that...
No.
Okay.
And it's the first time
that's
I've
weird,
ever done
it. It really feels like that.
I did my best to trick everybody.
Good job.
It was the first time I've done it like that. I mean, I've done it for other people like that, but as far as my own music, because I did a lot of this during COVID and just couldn't do it.
Right.
You know? But I knew what I wanted the songs to sound like. You know, I already had it mapped out. You know, I don't like to have it totally mapped out because, you know, you got to leave some room for people to do their thing, you know? But I had the grooves worked out, and I just made loops, and I cut my guitar and vocal together just as I had been doing it live. And kind of what I was telling myself was, if somebody comes in tomorrow and says, you can't have any more instrumentation unless you have to put it out just like that, with just the guitar and voice, then I wanted to be able to stand behind it, you okay. know? So I got my vocal and guitar down
sure.
to where I'm like, I feel good about this.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, now what am I going to bring to augment it? And I tried to put the least amount of stuff on there I could, honestly, just to try to keep it open.
Yeah, it has good space.
Yeah.
Like it sounds, there's a maturity to that, you know what I mean?
It's taken a while, you know how it is, man.
Yeah.
You want to throw that other guitar on there, and you got to throw that other guitar on there in the chorus, and I mean... I dig all that, and I've done all that a lot, you know, layered everything, but I tried to just do it differently on this one. You know, you listen to, like, let's just take, I don't know, Back in Black. You know, there's two guitars and bass and drums, and it sounds massive.
Yeah.
And the guitars are really pretty clean.
So funny, I thought you were going to say, like, Nebraska.
That one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, a good one is Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
For that kind of vibe.
The other stuff, like Born to Run, that's like fucking Phil Spector level. There's like mm-hmm. Glockenspiel on it.
Yes.
You know, that's a problem when that happens. When we did that John Lennon thing, what song did you do?
I did Just Like Starting Over.
Oh.
And then, you know, we sang that...
Because?
Because.
You were in that thing?
I
tried to erase that from my memory. That was really nerve-wracking. Remember at the rehearsal when someone just fucking played guitar and it was so easy? And then Steven's like, no, no. It's like, come on, man. Remember it was like, it was like slightly off the whole time until somebody played guitar all the way through it. And it's like, one guitar. It's like,
yeah.
People are still going to be floored.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded good. Did you see the tapes?
Yeah.
I thought it sounded good.
Yeah, I know. Ultimately, I thought the real thing we did sounded good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Were you and me and Sila on one mic?
I think we were. I think we were kind of doing the tenor-y kind of thing.
I'm sorry that I didn't. I wasn't like. I was like, do we know each other? Like, yeah, I remember that now.
No, yeah.
Sorry, dude.
I mean, they never did the thing.
That shit drives me nuts.
You know.
In this band Skyrocket I'm in, we started doing Bohemian Rhapsody. And
holy
I mean,
shit.
That song takes like 6 weeks to work up. You know what I mean?
I've seen y'all before. So good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But so we work up this song and like in this thing, everyone starts arguing. And I was the one that was like, hey, you guys realize they never fucking did this live, right? They only came out and did the beginning. And then all the opera part, they just left. That was on a tape.
Oh,
and then
really?
They came out and rocked. Yeah. They didn't do that whole song live.
So like early use of tracks live?
They just played it. Like they left the stage. Didn't even pretend to be part of it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
And then they just come back out for the rock part.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, they didn't even do it live, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a real feat.
For sure.
Anyway,
I remember he sent me all that stuff and I'm learning he sent all those YouTube videos of each part. And I'm sitting there learning. It's like, man, I do a lot of harmonies, you know, just on
do
other
you?
People's records and stuff. And you know, and that was a tricky one. Again, like you said, there was no foundation there that we were working off.
No,
of.
Man.
It's just like, oh, just start singing.
Yeah, that's the thing is like the thing that we're basing it on is a recording that they just took the music out of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they stood there and did it.
Yeah.
bastards.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of missed. It didn't happen this last year, right?
It did not.
No, it's over, right? Is it?
I don't know.
I feel like for like the last 10 years was like, this is it, guys. And then all of a sudden you get that call in August like, oh, hey, you want to do John's birthday?
Every time. I've done it a few times. It's always packed out, you know?
Yeah.
It's always fun.
It's a big show.
Yeah.
All the songs are great. All you have to do is not fuck shit up.
You like, have to just remember the words.
It's already done great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing about Skyrocket. It's like, all we have to do is just make sure we don't fuck up these great songs. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And terrible songs, but people love. But I mean, we do a lot of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do any other kind of thing now outside of like the studio, or like do you do some kind of weird band? Are you in a cover band?
Are you the keyboard player of a cover band? I am not. The last cover band I was in was the Diamond Smugglers.
Oh yeah, that was a great band.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
but that's been a piece. You know, since I've done that, I don't think they're doing it that I've heard.
No.
Of. Yeah.
What's the drummer guy's name? I love that guy.
He's Dave Mitre.
Oh no, that's a different guy than who I was thinking of.
Hunter Darby's the bass player.
Yeah, I love Hunter.
Yeah.
It's like a hole in the wall band.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did a lot of South by Southwest stuff?
I took it light this year, man. I just did two shows.
Oh, but one was official?
It was.
How'd it go?
It was cool. You know, it was a trip because, you know, I'm going down there. It was actually a Chicken Ranch showcase, and I got the thing when I was playing, and I was right in between Mr. Lewis and the Funeral Five and Broken Gold. They're both really good bands.
Yeah.
They're really big, loud rock and roll bands. And, you know, they had me right in between them. I told Mike, I said, man, you know, I'll come down there and do it for sure. But I'm going to show up with a guitar and a harmonica. You know, is that cool? You know, yeah, I was a little nervous about it, you know, sandwiched in between those bands, just getting up there by myself. But I don't know. I thought it went really well. I think
might really stand out.
I think people,
you know,
were kind of,
I mean,
ready for a little bit of a lull, a break,
sure,
from volume, and
yeah.
I think it kind of worked in my favor.
Yeah,
so it was a good show.
Yeah. That's great.
It's like quick 40 minutes, boom, in, out, you know?
Yeah. Do you write when you're on the road?
Yes.
You do?
Because I feel like...
You're on an adventure.
You're in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're living it, you're in it, and you're just in a headspace that's the only time you get in that headspace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're just in this totally different thing, and I think the neurons are firing in a way that's conducive to that.
Yeah.
You know? So... I hope to come back after this run with a little cluster, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'll try them out on the road, you know,
yeah,
along the way.
As you're going.
Yeah.
Like, here's a new song.
Yep.
It's always pretty fun.
It's always a thing. I'll throw that on Instagram or something. Hey, I've done that, you know, before. Say, I just finished this in a hotel room. Throw it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. I love the immediacy of that kind of stuff.
You do?
Yeah. Less thinky, more dewy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I used to say less thinky, more drinky, but...
I never... do you drink? Oh, no, you...
I don't, man.
You
it's
don't.
Been 3.5 years.
Okay. So you... pandemic sobriety time?
I figured about half my life I was getting blasted or whatever. And
yeah.
Maybe I'll try something different the other half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been good for me.
Yeah. There was a... You know, that sort of like the... It's tough because people go like, oh yeah, man, that late 90s scene, man. And it's not. It's like whatever age you are when you're that age, whatever year it is, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
If you're in a band and you're fucking 23 to, you know, 45.
Pretty much.
You know, you're out there in it. You're mixing it. You're in a fucking bar all the time.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that, actually, when I started getting it back out playing. It's like, damn, you know, my thing was like, shit.
Yeah.
Shot a Jaeger, get through the show, start chain smoking, cigs, you know.
Yeah. You just quit smoking?
I did. I wasn't like, I was one of those kind of lame, I mean, there's been times in my life when I'd consider myself a smoker. But I would kind of quit that, but I was always a drinky smoker.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, I want to drink so I can have an excuse to smoke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been good for my voice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're not smoking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than, for me at least, it's better than, I know some people said, oh man, you know, get you a thing. I said, I don't know, man.
Well, also, man, like, you know, it's so fun to be out on the road and, you know, getting wasted and having the time of your life and all that stuff. And when you're able to bounce back and get the job done, because that's the main thing.
That's a really good point.
And there is, like, you know, at this point in your life, you're making your own record. You're putting it out yourself. You're having fucking vinyl printed. You're having CDs printed. The main thing you got to do is be the greatest version of James Stevens ever.
I got to hustle my ass off.
8 and 10 every night.
Yeah.
And that you're not gonna get that way drinking and driving. Drinking and then getting up and having to drive all day and just, like, you know what I mean?
Dude, it'd kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
it's hard enough.
I've kind of shifted my mind into, like, okay, I'm going in there to do some business and kick some ass, you know, and hopefully make people feel something, you know, and do the best I can. And then I'm going to, once my business is done, I'm going to pack it all up and I'm going to leave. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, it's like, usually you hang around there till 4 a.m, you know, and whatever. So, and then I wake up and I know where I am and I know what I'm going to do the next, like on this tour, you know, man, there's a few dates already where, like, I got to get up and make a radio thing the next morning in the next town that's 4 hours away.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I got to be on my shit, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So are you doing all the radio stuff, or is Wendy helping you with that?
She's helping with that.
She's great.
She's awesome.
Yeah. I'm glad that you, how did you hook up with her?
Just, you know, how somebody those, it just comes along and different avenues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've recommended her to a couple of people. I don't know if they've used her or not.
She has been,
it's like her approach.
She's very available.
Yeah.
You talk to her on the phone, you know, she's just, it's been the opposite of a lot of those deals I've dealt with in the past. You know, it's like, here's your thing as you do, and I don't have time to talk, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to sort of get that kind of, like, it's hard to build a team, and I'm not just blowing smoke up her ass. She's really nice. Like, we've had, like, she wrote me one time, I was like, hey, we should like Zoom and just like shoot the shit one day. I was like, all right. So we did, it's great.
You know,
like,
cool.
She's just really cool. Like, and the kind of person that should be doing her job. You know what I mean?
Totally. She found her thing. Yeah,
that's a pretty crowded field now, you know, independent publicists. There's a lot of them. Like, that's a business. There's not, like, you're not, people aren't selling a lot of records. So being someone's manager isn't that great of a job anymore, because you're getting 15 to 20% of $80 a month. Sucks.
Yeah.
And booking agents, there's just, people aren't making enough money to really have, like, our kind of level booking agent. You know what I mean? It's just hard. There used to be those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they all moved, and being a publicist is the only gig where you're like, here, give me a bunch of money and maybe some shit will happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's go to Vegas.
And so, yeah, so it is like a, hey, no one wrote about you. Sorry, buddy. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like,
you're totally.
There's a lot of people out there that aren't as genuine like Wendy is, and she's very unique in that way.
Yeah.
It's a pretty crowded field. Like, a lot of people do it.
Yeah, she's been encouraging to me, you know? It's been cool.
Yeah, she seems to work with things that she believes in.
Yeah.
Like, she's not just taking every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
You know, the booking agent thing is, like I was telling you, Laura, you know, booked me forever. And then, you know, she had a family issues where she had to pretty much let go a lot of her roster. So, and that's right when I had this record coming out. And I was like, well, shit, what the hell am I going to do? And, you know, I had played some of these places, and I was like, I'm just going to try to book the damn thing. And I just went at it, man.
God, there's so many dates on there.
And I don't know. It made it work. I don't know. You know, I'm just going to try to keep it going.
You're going to keep on, like, keep going out.
Yes.
And keep making. I mean, you got a studio. You got a place where you can make stuff.
Yeah, I'm already, like, well into a next record.
Good.
So.
That's great.
Trying to have stuff. You know how I always was for me, it seemed like, was, all right, we make a record. Oh, shit, we need to make another record. Okay, let's write 10 songs real quick and record it. You know, and now I'm kind of sitting on a stockpile, you know, and I wanted to just start kind of more consistently releasing stuff, whether it's an album or an EP, you know, whatever.
Hey, I understand that. Yeah. And that's the way stuff is. Like, do you think after this full-length album, the way you release stuff will be in smaller bites? Or do you like the album release?
I think I'm definitely going to follow it up pretty quick with maybe an EP. Just because I can, that feels like something that I can kind of get done quicker. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like such a big undertaking. Just so I can kind of crank something out and then maybe do another full length after that.
Do you still have that 8-track version of the VS80 thing? VS880?
I do not. And I don't know what happened to my VS80. I got it when it first came out. I mean, this is like 97, dude.
Oh, really?
Long time ago.
I the first one I bought was the VS1680, and I bought it with the case, and it was because I'd become obsessed with Running on Empty. Like as an album.
Oh wow, yes.
And like they recorded so much of that on the road and stuff. I was just like, I wanna capture that, like the whatever it is, like record fucking in hotel rooms at fucking soundcheck, whatever. And they recorded on the bus. Like they did so much cool shit making that record. Like it's fucking the coolest thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
And the songs are about being. It's all just like this whole fucking like.
It's a thing.
Experience, yeah. And I feel like you should do that, man.
I thought about
like have a thing like that and just make your record out there on the road.
I thought about doing one, doing a hotel room record because you know these days you basically have a dang studio. And you,
I mean, I'm you sure know. You got badass laptop shit. If you got a badass studio,
I actually don't. My laptop just died. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I've got this like 90s screen hooked to my laptop because the screen went out of my laptop and it cost so much to get a new screen. I was like, should I just buy a new one? I don't want to buy a new one right now because I just had to print all this vinyl and stuff. But I've got this hybrid setup where it literally looks like some sort of science experiment. There's cables going everywhere with adapters and with the Mac Pro to this big screen. So I can't really take that on the road.
Maybe iPhone. I mean, people make iPhone movies. You can't make an. I haven't heard many people be like, "Oh yeah, I did this on the 4-track thing on my Kathy Valentine for a while was running around with a 4-track thing on her iPad. Like she was super stoked about it for like 3 weeks.
Huh?
And then it went away.
Yeah, it went away.
Yeah,
lost its luster.
I miss that. I've looked up some, and then I flip out because of how expensive they are. But like, I want to get a Tascam ported to like just the little cassette thing and make like a 4-track record like I used to make 4-track
like
stuff.
Just a simple kind of like that but even smaller. That'd
yeah
be
they do
cool.
There's just something also about the hiss of cassette, remember that?
Yeah, you know, I like on that record I cut it all
on tape.
I did not. I recorded it all to Pro Tools, but I mixed it to tape.
Oh.
To half inch. I just like what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it adds a little bit of hiss under there at 15 IPS. To me, it just makes my job easier. It just kind of does this smoothing effect.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to try as hard to glue it, you know. And I love that sound. It's like it sounds a little more real. It sounds a little more physical to me. It could be in my mind, but I don't know. I think it's real.
Did you engineer it? You were just by yourself doing it?
Yeah, like I'd cut the song, like I was saying, I cut it to a loop, and then I brought in George Duran on drums,
yeah.
And this dude Dave Wesolowski did the bass lines. I just kind of stacked it up like that.
Yeah.
These guys have been playing live with me, so we they knew the songs.
George plays with Stone Wheels too, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love him in the studio. He just gets great. It's easy. He just gets great sounds. You know, you know how it is, man. It's like, when I first started recording, it's like, hey, I can't get the drum sounds. And, you know, it's like, now it's not as hard. And I think one of the main things, it's like, hey, it's just better drummers.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to tune the drums.
Know how to tune
better.
Their drums, yeah.
And they know how to hit them right.
And
like, so much of it is just that relationship in between how you're hitting. You know, if you're hitting your cymbals this hard and then you're barely hitting the snare, you're just going to get a bunch of cymbals, man.
Right.
You know, so it's like he's one of those drums. You watch him playing in the studio and he's like, he looks like he's
barely doing it.
But yeah. It's like you listen, it's like, ah, oh, it sounds killer.
That's awesome.
You know, just the way he knows how to hit them. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, so I just kind of laid everybody like that and got it happening. And then, you know, Doug Strahan sang a lot of the harmonies, and then Betty Sue came in and sang harmonies.
Yeah. Fucking Betty Sue, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy hour. That's so funny, man. So you said you didn't live stream, or you did?
Oh, I ended up getting into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a thing going with the, I don't even remember what it's called now. What is that program that you used?
I don't know.
Okay. And I got a subscription to something where it could go to YouTube and Facebook at the same time.
Yeah, we had that with Skyrocket. Yeah.
And then I used the OBS, maybe? It's like a program on your computer that it's recording to, and then that spits it out to the places.
Yeah.
And then you've got some metering going on.
Right.
Where you can tell that, oh, I'm not just going, all over the internet.
I just did my phone. I mean, we used to do that thing with Skyrocket, but fucking seven-person band and, like,
oh man,
a bunch of microphones with no sound person. Like, we would do sound check,
yeah.
And, like, it, you know, that's crazy.
I had cables going on. It was still one of the most complicated things. I mean, there's cables going everywhere. It's like, this should be so easy. And I kept making it more complicated because, well, I can't really hear. So let me get some in-ear monitors, which I'd never used before. I've got this going on, you know. It's like, try to move and the thing's yanking out, and I'm on the live stream, you know.
Yeah.
But I did them every week. I got into a thing,
caught
it live from the lab, and I did like a shit ton of them, man.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was funny, yesterday I just had the first single from this album come out called Cherry Sunburst, and I was digging around through stuff just trying to find, let me see if I can find some old demos of this or something, just shit to post up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tons. That program saves all of those streams as audio, as video files.
Oh, like, awesome.
MP4s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, man, I've got so much stuff here. And it sounds good because I was taking a stereo feed out of the console, just like I would record it for a record.
Sure.
And just taking that right into the computer.
Okay.
So it's like, man, I got all this material. So I found, like, when I'd first written that song, and I had a drum loop going on GarageBand, and I found this first demo I ever did of that song.
Right.
So I'm going to post that up here just to say, hey, here's where it was then, and here's where it is now. Go check it out, kind of thing. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting because we've all got to kind of find our voice in this new technology era and sort of in this new promotional era where, like, I have a hard time doing, hey, guys, videos. Like, hey, guys, I'm it's me, and I'm here at the thing because I'm 55, and I feel like a fucking asshole doing that. That's why. It's hard for me to do it. Sometimes I can get it done, but it doesn't feel natural to me. So in this day and age, the name of the game is trying to find how you can express yourself in an organic way and get the point across and sell the thing you're trying to, you know, sell.
I feel you. And, you know
what I mean.
It goes against every fiber of my being.
Sure, me too. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But you know what? I just, it's like, man, you know, I feel like I'm in a place where it almost feels just lazy of me to not really try. You know, and the old me would have been like, man, fuck that. I ain't doing any of that shit. Now I'm like, man, I just put all this work in this shit. I got to let go of all
that
crap. I got a daughter to put through college, man. I'm going to try to make a go at this. You got to put yourself out there.
But also, you got to respect your art.
Yeah.
You know, it's, hey, man, you know what? This is stupid, but I made some shit, and I want people to hear it. And this is how I get the word out, sadly.
Yeah.
This is how it is.
Yeah.
It's weird how all of that stuff has happened. You know what I mean? And it's kind of come up even like just from in the era of Moonlight Towers.
Oh,
like,
what
was Friendster around when you guys were?
It was in MySpace.
It was a thing.
You thought that was just the be all end all of everything.
Yeah.
You know, think about that.
But I feel like that one was more like music and stuff oriented. Like, if I post a photo of Rosie, I get way more likes than if I'm like, hey, here's my new single. it fucking drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, dude, I worked really hard on this shit.
Right.
And I just got her to sit in front of the fucking flowers.
You know, the other one about that is like, I'll put a produced video up, you know, like a clip of a music video that was like a real video, you know, that's made and lukewarm. I'll do something that I spend less than a minute on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that really, really, really does well. You know, it's like, all right, I guess I'll just keep doing that. Hell, it's easier.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's like, well, I want to make good stuff too. So it is a little bit of a push and pull there.
Yeah.
I think you just got to do both.
Yeah.
One lives longer, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
man, you got to travel around with all that vinyl and CDs and stuff.
I got to. That's all those things.
That's a scary thing, though. Like with the vinyl, like you get worried about it gets hot in your car or whatever.
Well, let's hope that it's not that hot and then in April, but it could be. I've done it plenty of times. You know, when my last record came out in 2019, I went over to the UK and I did like a 3-week tour over there with, I had a suitcase, my guitar and a box of vinyls and a suit and whatever extra little clothes
and
I
a
have.
Suit.
I just wore the same thing every show because it was easy. I didn't have to think. And just went over there and did the shows, did it all by train. It was really fun, man. I want to go back over there.
Did Moonlight Towers go over there?
Mm-mm.
No. Like on some of these tours, are people coming out, like Moonlight Towers fans coming out to see you play? Does that happen?
I'm trying to
think. Or is there like no...
Not much, really. I just had a guy in Kansas City holler at me and said, yeah, I'm a fan of that. And he's actually asked me to be on his podcast up in Kansas City or Wichita.
What's his name?
His name's Jed, but I can't think of the podcast off the top of my head.
It's not last name isn't Green? It's not Trading Fours?
That doesn't sound right.
There's a guy in Kansas City that talks to a lot of people from here. He's a nice guy. He's had me on the show before.
Man, I was going to say,
James or something.
You are a beacon of consistency. The show, how many of these you've done, it's incredible, man. I mean,
it's kind of weird.
It's amazing. I mean, you look back and you think, how the hell did I do all this?
I know.
Do you think that?
All the time. And all the time, things will come up in my memories. There'll be a photo of me with something like, I don't even know who the fuck that person is. I have no idea. Somehow, like, I'll go back and be like, I'm going to go listen and see who that was. And you're like, shit, man, I had a really great time getting to know that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty weird thing, you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe that I started it. I can't believe that I followed through to, like, putting them out. And then I can't believe that I haven't stopped. Like, it shocks me.
It's a big lesson. I mean, it's like, how many times did you want to quit doing it?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, I feel like that all the time too. But gotta just do it. You gotta keep doing it, right?
The thing is that I've. I mean, I don't know. Same thing works more for me musically. Like last year, I was like, hey, I'm gonna start a band. I'm not gonna book a gig. I'm gonna start a band and just write all new songs from scratch. It's gonna be super awesome. It's gonna be a band where we all write songs together in a room. Okay, so we got together once in 6 weeks, and I was like, okay, this is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But dude, I will put together a band, write a bunch of new songs if I have a gig like May 7th.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just actually booked a gig for July, and I was like, oh, cool, because now I'll start another band. I'll start writing more songs again.
Whereabouts?
At Cosmic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Paul's doing like, he's going to do a series. I was playing there before the pandemic. It was the fucking jam. Like for some reason, I don't know why, I just love playing there. I loved Momo's too, but like I just love, I loved that place. And then after the pandemic, they're like, yeah, we're not going to be doing that stuff anymore. But he's going to be doing like a Wednesday music series like they used to at Shady Grove.
Oh yeah,
like that cool kind of thing. Yeah,
I saw Billy Joe Shaver there one time at Shady Grove long ago. I remember that.
Oh, he's pretty amazing.
Stuck out to me.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
What else are you? What else are you listening to these days? Anything you've worked on lately? That's great. That's come through your studio.
Man, I just did that new Uncle Lucius record.
Oh,
that I'm really digging.
I just had him on.
Oh, cool.
I just had Kevin on. It's a great record.
Oh yeah,
fucking great record.
Yeah, we had a that was really, you know, it kind of started out. I think we were going to do a single because, you know, they hadn't been a band in a long time.
No, I know.
And it just, the session just, it just felt good and went smooth and just kept recording.
Yeah, it's a great record, man.
Just had everybody in there. And
now you're touring with them. You're opening for them on some of
those
tours.
Just on one show.
Oh, on one show. Who else is it that you're going to be
playing? Oh, I'm playing with the South Austin Moonlighters in Baton Rouge.
Nice.
That's a great room down there called the Red Dragon.
Okay.
It's cool as shit, man. It's like an old kind of VFW posty feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
But they filled it with all couches.
Yeah.
Funky old couches. And I think the byproduct of that is they're all a bunch of bass traps, and it sounds great in that room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just a funky, really cool room, and it's got a great vibe in there, and people go there.
Yeah.
In Baton Rouge, yeah.
That's great.
Anytime I go to Louisiana, get some gumbo and po' boys worth.
Oh yeah.
For me, man, whatever I got to do to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I did a show with Skyrocket in Lafayette a couple years ago.
Where
and
at?
I don't know.
Was it Blue Moon?
Yes,
yeah.
I think so.
I just played there.
You walk in
ago.
And you it has two doors on either side, has a back porch and a front thing, and then the stage is on the right when you walk in and the bar's here.
Well,
I think
Blue
it's
Moon,
Blue
you're
Moon.
Playing outside, kind of. It's like in
okay,
a cool
that's,
cabana-y.
It's a different
okay.
place. But I think I've played the Blue Moon.
It's cool.
But I went there. I literally left town a couple of hours early to get there, to go by myself without having to wait on people in a band, to go to like the right place to sit down and have some gumbo and jambalaya.
Did you happen to go to Old Time Grocery?
I don't know.
In Lafayette?
I don't know. Can you close that? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming, dude. It's almost like they know. They see I'm sitting here with the guests, and
almost
they're like...
Almost like they know. That's a good
no, porque tell him. He's talking to his friend. They want to hear this on the show. By the way, before you tweet at me, 100% Hispanic. So don't get mad at me. I'm Cuban. Even though I was doing a Mexican voice, it's still okay. I think that you have a visa to make fun of all of you guys. All of us.
Yeah.
I have the freedom. Spanish dudes, Bolivian dudes,
yeah,
Mexican dudes, Cuban dudes. You're from Mississippi?
Yeah, West Point, Mississippi, where I grew up. It's kind of near Tupelo, I tell people, because many people don't know where West Point is, but they've probably heard of Tupelo if they're Elvis fans.
You're getting back to Mississippi on this trip?
I'm playing their last show at the Black Prairie Blues Museum.
You have people there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's a Howlin' Wolf is from West Point or outside of West Point. So that museum has a lot of cool Howlin' Wolf stuff in there. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a music museum too.
Yeah.
Or just a awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun show.
It's been great talking to you. Is there anything I'm missing that you want to let the people know? Because I went very freeform on this. I didn't follow the usual template.
Yeah.
Sorry. Are you mad?
No, not
want
at
me
all.
Do it again. I can start over.
Yeah, let's redo it. Let's do it. Can we playlist this? Then we'll comp it. Shit, you know. I mean, I got this record coming out April 12th. So
yeah, that's the deal.
That's
Nowhere
deal.
To Land. And your last record, Invisible Lines, available now wherever it is you stream and download music. You can find you at jmstevens.net. You will be on tour April and May. In the South, Southeast, East Coast. You're doing a lot of Jersey. I was actually at when I saw there's like 3 dates in Jersey. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
it's
love
one of those
New
things.
Jersey.
I played there in Sparta in 2022 and, you know, met a dude at the show. You know, he bought a record and then he came to my show in Pyramont, New York. And turns out he's a promoter up there. You know, I'm always filing those things away, you know, so that's why we rented a book and I hollered at him. I'm like, man, can you help me out with any shows up there? And literally he came back with those 3 shows just like that.
That's awesome.
You know, so my point in that is none of that would have happened if I hadn't gone out and done those shows. So that's the thing I always talk about is nothing happens sitting on the couch. That's for damn sure.
That's for damn sure.
You gotta go out and do stuff. Whether or not it seems like a crazy idea, it probably is. But you still got to go do stuff.
It is, but nothing. Yeah, you know, I mean,
there's a million reasons to not do all of this stuff.
Right.
There's a few really good reasons to do it.
Right.
And those are the ones I try to focus on.
There's no proven way to success to do what we do. Like, there's no, like, if you do this, this will happen, because you might have written the greatest song and the time isn't right. Like, whatever happens,
you
can always fall through the cracks. Always. But the one thing I think that keeps, that's an honest, real thing, is a live show that you can do. And I worked at Awesome Music Foundation for quite a while, and I would do these consultations with people, and they'd be like, oh, I email these bands, and they don't email me back. I'm like, hey, can I open for you? Like, hey, can I open for you? And I'm like, do you go to their shows?
Yeah,
no? Sure. Okay, so basically, let me just tell you what you're doing in the real world. What? You're just writing some stranger and asking him for a favor.
Yeah, like, is that simple?
If he has no connection, he doesn't need to write you back, or they don't need to write you back, or she doesn't need to, whoever doesn't need to fucking write you back, because you don't mean anything to them. And no offense, they don't care about you as much as you do. Obviously, nobody does. But that thing of like, go out and see them, and if you like them, you can, like, that's how all this shit really works.
And just be genuine.
Yeah, be genuine. You don't have to go be nice to some band you hate and you think they suck. Like, don't go around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you want to play with a certain band, it's funny. I did this. I played a show with Skyrocket last week in Houston. It was a packed show, and I took a photo of the audience, and I did like a thank you post. And two different people wrote me like, hey, man, my band would be great opening for Skyrocket. And you're like, what? They don't want to hear your band. They just want to hear Dancing Queen and shit. Like, if you're going to go up there and think that they want to hear your original music, dude, we've opened individually for the band. They don't fucking care about the same dude they're screaming when he's singing All Out of Love by fucking Air Supply. They do not care when I'm singing my own jams at all.
Yeah.
But it's just that weird thing of like, you don't come to our, you don't even know what it is that we fucking do. We're a cover band. You want to open for a cover band? Like,
right.
What a weird aspiration.
I think it's that thing of, there just ain't no shortcuts.
No. No.
I think it's like in our culture is like, there's always some angle or some this. And it's like, maybe sometimes, but really nothing replaces.
I mean, there can be shortcuts,
yeah.
You know?
Maybe you get lucky now and then, hit a warp zone like in Mario Brothers and skip a couple of worlds, right? But that doesn't happen without being out and doing stuff and meeting people organically, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's even interesting, like, even, you know, talking to somebody like Fastball, who had this a moment, and like, it, definitely a couple of songs that people know, but one song that's fucking like, everybody knows this song. It's not to say they haven't written fucking songs that are way better than that one since then. It's just weird. Like, these things just have a life of their own, and they just kind of like have their own thing, but they still built the crowd and do the shows, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can have luck, like they have.
Yeah.
But you can also, like, they've just worked hard since then.
Yeah.
It's not like anything's been handed down. You can have, like, a magical, that was their second record. But they've also made, like, fucking 7 records since then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they made a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you work with South Austin Moonlighters or no?
I never have. I met Chris from that band at a gig one time. And that's how I've seen him play before. That's the only person I know in the band. And I reached out to Chris down at Red Dragon. He's like, oh, what do you think about opening for South Austin Moonlighters? I said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'd played there once at Red Dragon. And it's kind of tough to get in there. So I was glad to get back in there.
I bet it's tough to get into a lot of places out there touring-wise, just because everybody's...
It is.
Everybody's trying to book themselves into shit now.
Yeah, I mean, I just had Asheville, North Carolina come through this morning that I've been sweating a little bit if I was going to be able to fill some days right in there.
I love that place.
And so I'm stoked about that. I've never been to Asheville that I
Oh, you never have? Oh, that's
I don't think
great.
I have. Maybe I've been through there, but I've definitely never played there, you know?
I've played there a few times. I played there when I played with Ian Moore.
Oh, cool.
We played this weird, like, I don't know, public theater event center. It was really cool. Like, even that place was cool there. Everything's yeah. cool in Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah.
These fucking assholes, man. They're driving me crazy, these blower guys. You know there's no day or time that it's just literally completely arbitrary.
Well, at my house, it's usually at about 5:36 in the morning.
Jesus.
Seems like they're always out there so early.
Yikes. Well, man, congratulations. Nowhere to Land is fantastic. Everyone can get out there and find you at jmstevens.net. If you live in Oklahoma, Mississippi, New Jersey, North Carolina, South Carolina?
No, not South Carolina.
New Jersey.
Yeah, where else? I can't even
You're
think
going
about
to a right. lot of places. Just yeah, go there and check it out. Lots and lots of dates. And of course, the Old Quarter Cafe in Galveston, Anderson Fair in Houston, the Blue Door in Oklahoma City, classic, great listening rooms.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Great having you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the record. I tried my best just to reach